This is Devotional, brought to you today from the campus of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Our speaker for today is Dr. Lewis Drummond, the Billy Graham Professor of Evangelism for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. His topic for today will be, You Are the Salt of the Earth. Dr. Drummond will speak to us after we hear the vocal ensemble, Ministry 73, singing the Butler arrangement, Of How Excellent Is Thy Name.
During the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, much of his time was centered around his actual teaching ministry. He said things that blessed and strengthened people. He said on occasions things that rebuked those who stood in need of correction. Many of his statements, from our perspective in the 20th century, however, are a bit difficult to understand and grasp. One of the greatest sermons that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke is that which we have recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. Many of the things that Jesus said in this masterpiece of preaching are very clear indeed. There are sections, however, that are somewhat difficult to grasp. For example, his statement that we are the salt of the earth. Do you remember how Jesus phrased it? He said to his disciples who were hearing him on that day, You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall that taste be restored? It is thereafter good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot by men. Well, this was obviously a figure of speech that our Lord was using. But the issue is, what was he attempting to communicate in that rather strange, a bit difficult to grasp expression, You are the salt of the earth? Well, of course, all of us understand what salt is in the purely physical sense. We use it every day. For example, we know that salt has the ability to flavor. How tasteless would most of our food be if we did not use salt? For some reason, salt has this strange chemical quality of being able to bring out the good succulent flavor of our food. And so we use it in that respect daily. We also know that salt has not only the ability to flavor, it also has something of the ability to purify. Let me illustrate this. Some time ago, I had a wound on a finger and it infected. Well, I tried various homemade remedies, and not wishing to go to the doctor for such a relatively small matter, I decided I would take the old-fashioned remedy that my mother had told me years ago of soaking the infected wound in warm salt solution. Well, I tried it. I must admit I probably looked rather strange sitting down in a chair watching television with my finger immersed in a hot glass of salty water. But where other remedies had failed, in a day or two, the wound was well on the road to recovery. Salt in solution had that unique ability of being able to purify. There's a third quality of salt that we all know about, especially in our locality, I should suppose, namely, its ability to preserve. I'm sure that all people love good country ham. And what makes that particular kind of food so good is the fact that it is cured with salt. Salt has the ability to keep the meat from spoiling. It preserves. Now, as we think about salt from this purely chemical perspective, that it flavors, it purifies, and preserves, perhaps we can get a bit of an insight as to what Jesus was saying when he, in his Sermon on the Mount, said that we as Christians, as believers, those who have come to know him as Lord and Savior, are the salt of the earth. I should suppose he was trying to say something like this. As salt, in the physical sense, has certain qualities, there ought to be qualities about the Christian experience of his disciples that would, yes, flavor, purify, and preserve. Let's see if we can delve into this passage in a bit of depth and see just exactly what these kind of figures of speech mean. Salt has the ability to flavor. All right, a Christian, in like manner, should have something of a flavoring quality. Maybe this can be best illustrated from an incident in the life of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of the past century. He was addressing a large congregation on one occasion, and painted in the great hall where the evangelistic crusade was taking place was the simple verse of Scripture, "God is love." Pointing to that wonderful truth as it was painted on a poster, D.L. Moody said these words, "I believe that in any great city, if people simply believed God is love, that many would come to put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, casting themselves upon the great compassion and mercy and love of God." And I'm sure that we would all agree that if people could but understand that God is love, many would find the Lord Jesus Christ and the marvelous new life that he alone can give. How are they to understand this, however? This, in the final analysis, I suppose, is the issue. Well, there will be some that will come to churches and hear preachers preach, and they will believe. There will be others who will perhaps be listening on the radio as you are today, and they will understand the message of the love of God and find Jesus Christ. But I suppose that the greatest impact that can ever be made upon the world is when the Christians learn genuinely to love, not just in word, but in deed. What I'm saying is simply this. It is by deeds of love, action that speaks of compassion, relating to people in such a way that they can quite clearly see the love of God in our lives as Christians. This is going to be the great convincer. And if the people of God could recognize themselves as the salt of the earth, that is to, as it were, flavor their environment, their sphere of influence, with the love of God, what a difference it would make. We are to be the salt of the earth, and we are to flavor, and with what better quality could we flavor this world than with the great love of God manifest in deeds and in actions of love and grace and mercy. Yes, we're to be the salt of the earth with that unique flavoring quality. But we also learned, of course, that salt has the ability not only to flavor in the physical sense, but also has the ability to purify. Can a Christian have something of a purifying quality? Well, I should think, certainly, of all people in society, it ought to be the Christian who influences society to purity. The purity of the life of the Lord Jesus, as it is seen within us. The purity of our own life, reflecting the Lord Jesus, certainly ought to have its impact upon society. Maybe I can best illustrate this with the story of a friend of mine who is a most unique individual. She is a missionary, something in her mid-80s now. After having spent many years in China, she now lives out her life of ministry and service, even at that age, here in the United States. There's something about this dear Christian that one can never quite be the same after one has spent time with her. Her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, the depth of her spirituality, the genuineness of her life and her relationship to God reaches out, as it were, and grips one when one has the opportunity of fellowship with her. It is really quite true, as I've said, you just cannot quite be the same after having spent time with Miss Bertha, as we affectionately call her. I suppose that all of us have met individuals like that from time to time, those who have profoundly influenced our lives, those who have made an impact upon us, and perhaps we have determined, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be more pure in my relationship to God. I'm going to let my influence for Christ count profoundly as this person does. Sometimes, however, we're rather prone to think, well, this kind of person is the unusual, one of the choicest of God's servants, and this kind of a life really isn't for everyone, but for those select few. Yet in reality, God has done nothing for, nor really would do anything through, one like Miss Bertha, that he would not do for and through all of his children. For we're all on the same ground. We are all in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in us if we have surrendered our life to God and trusted Jesus as our personal Savior. And therefore the same Holy Spirit that dwells in our heart would certainly use us all to the utmost and to the full. There are no select Christians. There are no super saints. We are all the salt of the earth. And we are all to magnify Jesus Christ. And our relationship to him should be of such depth, sincerity, reality, yes, purity, that we would be a purifying influence. For we are to be the salt of the earth. And then finally, having discovered that salt is this unique chemical with flavoring, purifying qualities, and also preserving as the salt of the earth. There's something about us that should be, in a very real sense of the word, preserving. This can probably best be illustrated in the life of another friend. This man was a layman. He had not been technically trained in religion or theology. As a matter of fact, his education was very limited. 6 grades was all he was able to do as a young man because he came from a very poor, deprived background. But yet here was a man whose life was so tremendously influential for Jesus Christ that he is, in my thinking, one of the great men that I've had the opportunity of meeting. Let me tell you just a bit about him. He was what we would call in Christian and church circles a very effective witness for Jesus Christ. He would constantly attempt to share his faith with others, and there was never an opportunity that he would not seize to tell someone about how wonderful it is to know Jesus Christ. He would even share his faith with waitresses in restaurants, filling station attendants as they would put gas in his car. Of course, some would say he was a bit of a fanatic. But yet there was such a genuine sincerity and such a love and such a compassion in this man's heart that rarely was anyone offended. They saw, here is a man that is a genuine Christian. And they would often listen. And many would, through his word of testimony and witness, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In a very real sense, he was preserving people. He was preserving homes. He was preserving individual lives. He was salvaging many a person. Yes, to use the old-time expression, he was saving souls to eternal life. And that's a marvelous preserving quality for one to have. Well, of course, all of us feel to some extent our inadequacy and our limitations in doing this very thing, sharing our faith. Yet at the same time, there ought to be that about us that is winsome in our testimony for Christ. We should be constantly open to opportunities to tell others about how wonderful it is to be a Christian and to know Jesus Christ. And if in our simple way we can do that with God's wisdom and God's help and strength, for he certainly will give us those things, then we can become a preserver. Yes, as Jesus said, we can become the salt of the earth with a preserving quality. You are the salt of the earth, said our Lord. Maybe now we have a bit clearer insight as to what he meant. We're to flavor with the love of God our whole sphere of influence and environment. We're to purify because we live a life of purity and dedication ourselves. And finally, and this is something of the culmination of it all, we're to have that preserving quality as the salt of the earth as we help others individually and the community as a whole, yes, the nation and the world, to find Jesus Christ, whom to find is to find life in its richness and in its fullness. Well, there's one final question. How can I be, in this full sense of the word, the salt of the earth? If that's what I am to be and that's what I am to do, how can I be the salt of the earth? Well, first of all, one must have accepted Jesus Christ. And how do we do this? So simple in understanding, but yet a very profound decision to be sure. We turn to God with all of our heart and all of our life. That means we turn from those things that are displeasing to him. Yes, we even turn from our own selves, and we place our life in the hand of God and say in surrender and committal to him, Lord, here is my life. This is what the Bible means by repentance. And then we trust Jesus Christ. That means we put our trust, our faith, our reliance in him, not in our own goodness, not in our own religion or our own morality or ethics. We simply place our whole self into Christ's hands that we might know him as Lord and Savior. We trust him to forgive us. We trust him to come into our heart. We trust him to save us. This is why he came into the world and lived among us, why he died on the cross and poured out his life. This is why he rose again, that he might quite literally invade our life and save us and forgive us and impart his own life to us. And then we walk with him, we pray, we serve him, we love him, and we let him live through us. This is what it means to be the salt of the earth. It's a walking, living, daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Having initially trusted him as Lord and Savior, now we go on day by day simply to walk with him in surrender and committal, in a vital and dynamic prayer life where his presence is very real. We study his word that he might speak to us. And in this life of walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ, he grips us And in gripping us, he can grip others through us. And through us, he can flavor, purify, and preserve this world. In the final statement of it all, it is really marvelous when one thinks that Jesus sees us and says, "You are the salt of the earth." May God make it so.
You have just heard Ministry 73 singing the Don Husted arrangement of I'm Newborn Again. Ministry 73 is a vocal ensemble of seminary students under the direction of Dr. Philip Landgrave. Our speaker for today was Dr. Lewis Drummond, the Billy Graham Professor of Evangelism for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The seminary has a special program in the study of evangelism, which includes the endowed Billy Graham Chair of Evangelism, and a collection of books and materials relating to evangelism which may be found in the Billy Graham Display and Research Rooms of the Boyce Library of the Seminary. The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary is located at 2825 Lexington Road, Louisville, Kentucky. This is Forrest Clark, speaking for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, wishing you Godspeed and a blessed week.